Ohio newspaper. When Susan Moses heard the news, she collapsed with grief. Bill Cody, in America for the winter, was shocked and puzzled. He quickly cabled Frank in England. Frank sent a reassuring reply, and Bill responded, "I am so glad our Annie ain't dead, ain't you?" Chapter 11. America. Bill's show took up 14 acres at Chicago's Columbian Exposition of 1893. With the exception of a belly dancer called Little Egypt, Darling of the Nile, it was definitely the fair's most popular attraction, drawing up to 22,000 people at a time. It now featured military riders from many countries: Russian Cossacks, American cavalrymen, English lancers, and French dragoons, along with the original cowboys and Indians. There were more than 100 American Indians. There were Argentine gauchos and Mexican vaqueros. There were Arab riders in flowing robes, but Annie got top billing. As the star attraction, she appeared first on the program, wearing one of her 35 hand-sewn and embroidered costumes. With her long curls and her trademark Western hat, she still looked girlish, though now she was 33 years old. Her performance was as thrilling as ever. It featured many familiar stunts: shooting the end off a lit cigarette, scrambling eggs by shooting a bunch of them as they flew through the air, and a few new ones. One of these, slicing a playing card in half lengthwise with a pistol shot, was so difficult that few attempted it. Annie made it a regular feature of her act. The Wild West show was seen by an estimated 6 million people that summer and cleared $1 million, breaking records for both attendance and profit. As for Annie, she was now one of the best-known women in America. By Christmas 1893, Annie and Frank had moved into a roomy new house in Nutley, New Jersey. For the first time in her life, Annie had a housekeeper. She decided she wanted guests, too, so she sent a letter of invitation to Forest and Stream magazine. "I beg of all friends and sportsmen not to pass by without stopping," she wrote. "No matter if they shoot a $30 or $300 gun, their welcome will be just the same." Her offer delighted the magazine's readers. But if any of them stopped by in March 1894, they wouldn't find Annie at home. She was back in a tent again. This time, a circus tent. The Nutley Amateur Circus was a charity event put on to benefit the Red Cross. Frank, who helped organize the circus, had no trouble persuading Annie to appear. Both she and Frank had happy memories of their days with the Sells brothers, and the Red Cross was one of their favorite charities. As always, Annie pushed herself to improve her act. She already could shoot from horseback. Why not shoot standing riding bareback? In Nutley, she did just that. As the horse cantered around the ring, Annie kept her balance perfectly and hit every target Frank released into the air. She never had done the stunt in public before. "It alone," said one newspaper, "was worth the trip to New Jersey." Meanwhile, Nate Salisbury and Bill were in Brooklyn, getting ready for another Wild West season. It was a huge job. The show had grown so big that a special arena had to be built for it. As construction began, the 24-acre show lot became a tent city, filled with cowboys, Indians, stagehands, animal handlers, musicians, blacksmiths, porters, cooks, and a small army of rough riders from all over the world. By May, the arena was complete. It measured 450 feet by 312 feet and was decorated with a giant panorama of the Western Mountains. Thomas Edison's company installed the lighting system. It was expensive, $30,000, but Bill was sure it was worth the money. For the first time, the show could play outdoors at night. With extra evening shows, profits could be greater than ever before. The show was splendid, and Annie's performances were wonderful. But Bill's hopes were dashed. The country was suffering a depression, and many people couldn't afford show tickets. Attendance was so poor that the show was in debt by the end of the season. The only solution, announced Bill, was to go on the road again. For the next 5 years, Annie and Frank saw little of their dream house in New Jersey. They spent most of their time traveling with the show, which now was managed by James Bailey of circus fame. Bailey made changes. He added circus acts. He changed the show's schedule so that it traveled from town to town in a series of one-night stands. Like Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey, which Bailey also managed, the Wild West show now played between 100 and 130 American cities a season. With constant travel, there was almost no time to rest. Once again, Annie and Frank made their home in the big canvas tent, with its collapsible bathtub and gun racks. If Annie was less than happy with life on the road, she never complained. She was used to hard work. She had been working hard since childhood, and she never had expected her life to be glamorous. Bill grumbled to reporters and threatened to retire. Annie, always a lady, said everything was fine. If she had to get rain-soaked every now and then, or shoot in ankle-deep mud, so what? Things could have been a lot worse. Chapter 12. Her Own Woman. In the early morning of October 28, 1901, the Wild West show was traveling by train from North Carolina to Virginia. There it would play its final date of the season. The troupe was weary. Everybody was ready to say their goodbyes and take a long break for the winter. Frank and Annie were fast asleep in their stateroom. Suddenly they were wakened by the screech of brakes. Then, before they could even speak, they were thrown from their beds.